You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
After all the other holiday gifts are outgrown or overused, gift cards for stock could be one of those standout gifts that keeps on giving beyond the holidays.
For more information, visit stockpile.com. That's www.stockpile.com. I'm Malcolm Heaver.
Senator John McCain is running for his sixth term in the U.S. Senate in 2016, and he has gained the support of a fellow former presidential candidate. Mitt Romney says that reelecting McCain is important for the entire country.
I can tell you this. This is a great American senator who is critical for our country.
Romney expressed his support for Senator McCain at a re-election rally on Saturday in Arizona. Hundreds of supporters came out to see the two men speak about issues that need to be addressed in the next few years. Today marks the third anniversary of the shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy has ordered all state flags to fly at half-staff in honor of the 20 children and six adults who were killed in the shootings. Meantime, the governor says he'll sign an executive order banning the sale of firearms to anyone on any federal terror watch or no-fly list. Malloy says Connecticut will be the first in the nation to do so. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
A New York public school principal has banned Santa Claus. The Pledge of Allegiance is no longer recited, and that's not all. USA's Russ Jones has the details. Reports that Harvest Festival replaced Thanksgiving and winter celebrations substitute for Christmas parties.
Jayla Kim, the new principal of PS 169 in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, has taken political correctness to a brand new level. Besides banning Santa and the Pledge of Allegiance, Thanksgiving was replaced by, quote, a harvest festival and winter celebrations substitutes Christmas parties. An email stated the staff was to, quote, be sensitive of the diversity represented in the school. USA Radio News has reached out to the principal for comment, but thus far hasn't received a response. I'm Russ Jones.
Major League Baseball will not be reinstating Cincinnati Reds legend Pete Rose. Commissioner Rob Manfred has chosen to leave Rose's lifetime ban from the sport in place. Manfred issued a statement saying that now 74-year-old Rose has not presented credible evidence of a reconfigured life and that allowing him to work in the game presents an unacceptable risk of a future violation by him. Manfred did say he respects Rose's accomplishments as a player and will continue to allow him to participate in ceremonial activities that present no threat to the integrity of the game. What could be the biggest premiere in Hollywood history is just a few hours away. Star Wars The Force Awakens premieres tonight for VIP audiences at three theaters. One of those movie houses is the iconic TCL Chinese Theater, where the original Star Wars premiered in 1977. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Most times people don't even know what's going on.
The weather today. It says scattered showers and part patchy fog, but when I came in an hour or so ago, the sun was shining. It was bright. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, so I don't know. It says there's a chance of precipitation is 30%. Tonight's supposed to be showers and thunderstorms before midnight and then scattered showers after midnight. And they say that the precipitation amount should be a quarter to a half of an inch. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 63. West winds 14 to 17 miles an hour, and Tuesday night will be mostly clear with a low around 37. West winds 5 to 11 miles an hour. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 52. Light and variable winds, and a slight chance of showers after 8 p.m. It'll be partly cloudy with a low around 40, and a chance of precipitation is 20%. Welcome to the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. This is the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we have two great guests with us today. And they're looking at me, giving me this smirk, but we do. They're great guests. Trust me, you'll find out in a minute. We have Jared Kaplan and Maria Williams, and they're from the Hunterdon Health and Wellness Centers. Now, I understand from before we went on the air that they go back and forth between the two, White House and Clinton. Basically, Maria, what's your role?
I'm a personal trainer and group exercise fitness instructor.
Okay. And Jared?
I'm just a fitness trainer there. So I work with clients on goal setting and achieving,
One-on-one?
Yeah, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes just, whoever comes up to the desk, usually.
Okay. Is there either one of you can answer this. Is there I don't know how to say it. She's pointing to you.
Yeah. Why did you say that?
I've been doing this for 4 years since the thing started. Seen it all. We'll get back at you, Maria.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, how do you know whether you got to go to White House or you got to go to Clinton or back and forth between the both in one day? How's that?
I think it has more to do with what you're interested in getting out of your membership. I think Clinton has, it's a bigger facility. It's newer. So they have up-to-date stuff. But, I mean, White House is great, too. It has pretty much the same equipment. It's just a different layout. So for most people, it's just wherever's more convenient to go.
If you live closer to White House, it would make more sense than to travel the extra.
Yeah. I know that I heard something that like people that go to Clinton can use White House for free, but if you're a White House member and you try to go to Clinton, you might have to pay like a $10 fee or something like that. But
I think that's true. Or at least it was. I don't know if it still is.
It just has to do with the fact that Clinton has more available. So.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think we mentioned before we went on the air that I used to join there. I belonged there for quite a while. And I know a lot of the people that, are there. And so it's kind of interesting, And Maria, you said that you are a group instructor?
Yes.
Define that. What does that mean?
It means that instead of working as a personal trainer with one person, or a small group personal training session, which is up to about four people. I also teach a large group of people in the large fitness rooms. And in there we can fit up to about, I'd say 20, maybe 22, 25 people. So it's a large group. And I also do the same when I teach spin. That's considered a large group. We have 13 participants.
Go back. What's spin?
Spinning. Spinning is a
like sitting
indoor
on
cycling.
A bike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. So that's what that is. So it just enables me to teach a large group.
When you teach the large group in Clinton, is that in that glass?
Yes.
Room?
It's in the back.
In the back?
That's right. It's on the first floor in Clinton. It's in the back. We have about 15, if not, that is, yeah, that's right. We have 15 indoor bikes there, so we can fit up to 15 people at a time. And then White House, it's upstairs. We also have a spinning studio, but it's upstairs, and there we can fit 13 people at a time. We have 13 bikes. It's a little smaller.
All right, let me ask you something. When you're talking about spinning, is there a certain speed limit you have to go? Or
well,
is it
not
depends
really.
On what the person is capable of doing?
Well, that's a good question, because we always say that spinning is for everyone, because in a spinning class, let's say you were to walk into class and you're new, you should be able to finish that class without a problem, because all levels can participate together. For example, the instructor is the one that sets the pace and the speed and the intensity. And then the person sitting on the bike is instructed on how to do that. So if you're climbing hills, we'll tell you how to get to a hill feeling, and you are responsible to make those adjustments. So if you're new, and we'd coach the new person through it, you would adjust accordingly so that you can complete the whole session. So that's kind of how it works.
Without
so
getting discouraged.
That's right. And it's just, and it really, that's exactly
it. No, it's
it.
True. Yeah.
Right. And we would show you the pan positions.
Been there and done that. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Show you how to set up the bike. And you should be able to dictate your own level of effort that you want to put in. Or if you want to cut back, sometimes you may not be feeling so well that day and you just want to do less intensity. And with spinning, you can easily do that because no one knows. You have your own knob and nobody knows mm-hmm. what's going on. So,
right.
Yeah.
Jared, when you individualize training, right, do you, or how do you, all right, say me, for argument's sake, I come to you and say, oh, Jared, I want to do something, you know, I want to start practicing this and that or whatever. How do you determine which machines or which weights or what combination to use?
Well, I like to, with people that come to me and they ask questions, I like to individualize it so that they're comfortable using what they're doing. It's not about, you know, making everyone look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's more about finding
I'll never make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, a lot of people come in with sometimes unrealistic goals and that kind of stuff. So it's important to kind of, like, if someone comes in, they say they want to lose 20 pounds in, like, you know, 2 weeks, it's just not going to happen. It's not healthy. So a lot of it is, you know, we go back and forth. I figure out what your specific goals are. Like, if you want to lose weight, you want to gain muscle. I have, you know, been taught in college, you know, specific, you know, guidelines and protocols and all. Mm-hmm. You know, use those protocols to maybe guide my decision, but ultimately it comes down to, you know, what you specifically want to do. So say someone comes in, they have knee issues, I'd be less likely to put them on a treadmill or a stair climber. I'd be more likely to put them
I have
in
both
pool.
My knees replaced,
yeah,
that's why.
Exactly. You know. I'd be more likely to put them in a pool, recumbent bike, standing bike, maybe
right.
the elliptical, stuff that's going to be less hard on the knees, more on the, you know, but it's still going to get you that level of cardio that you're expecting if you want to mm-hmm. lose weight or just gain endurance. And then as far as, like, weight training goes, for most people starting, the regimens are, you know, they're going to be very different depending on, you know, what your goals are. Some people want to be able to, you know, move around the house better. They want to be able to get up their stairs easier. You're going to do a little more leg stuff. You're going to focus a little less on the upper body. If you're looking for people who are, you know, trying to gain, you know, strength in their upper body and that kind of stuff, because they're trying to get out of seats easier. They're trying
right.
to be a little more mobile there. You work on the upper body, but again, it really depends. Everyone's different and everyone has different goals. So it's important for us to keep that in mind and not just give somebody an exercise plan that would work for us, but an exercise plan that would work for you.
Yeah, like I said, I had both my knees replaced, so there's
yeah.
certain things that
exactly
my surgeon told me don't ever do or stay yeah. away from. Mm-hmm. Like I can walk, mm-hmm. like my wife, she doesn't belong to a gym. Mm-hmm. We live in the country and she likes to walk around a block, which is 2 miles if
That's
she goes
great.
Around a block. If she goes around, halfway around, and goes up the road and comes back, and it's 3 miles, you know. So it depends on how she feels that morning, whether she's going to go 2 or 3. But I went with her one time, and it was shortly after, about 6 months after I had my knees replaced. I almost had to crawl home, you know.
Yeah.
And when I asked the doctor about it, the surgeon who did my knees, he says, was it level or was it up and down and up and down. Well, I says, well, it was like hilly because we live in a country, you know, it's up and down. He says, well, then don't walk up and down. He says, walk where it's level.
Yeah.
He says, and, you know, he says, if you have to, he says, don't do any of the up and down thing, you know, which makes sense when you think about it.
Right.
But who thought about it at the time, you know?
Right.
But it's, you know, you I guess, you know, you have to take people's physical problems into consideration. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been on a treadmill in my life, even when I was in shape. You know, funny story. When I joined, and you go through a physical training thing where you do sit-ups and all that jazz.
An assessment. Yeah.
People usually dread that when they hear the word assessment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that bad. It really isn't. But
the fellow that did mine, in fact, I did it in White House because Clinton wasn't built yet. And a fellow said to me, can I ask you a question? I says, sure. He says, you won't get mad? I says, no. He says, when was the last time you exercised? I said, well, let's see. I said, I came back from Vietnam in 1967. I says, that was about it. He cracked up, you know. And it was true because, you know, you're going to work. You know, at one point with the kids, you're in the mortgage and the car payment. You're working two jobs. And, you know, it's like, you know, who's thinking about going to exercise, you know?
Finding time is tough.
Right, exactly. And so when I finally get around to doing it, I'm almost retired, you know,
right.
So it's like, you know. Yeah.
It's never too late.
No, I agree. It's never too late, you know. But, you know, it's interesting because I had a program set up for me. And part of it was very little weightlifting, but it was hand weightlifting, not the bars.
Yeah.
And it was in Clinton, there was some of the machines on the other end, you know, near where the men's locker room is there.
And
use some of those and, you know, and it was worked very well, you know. But you said before that losing 20 pounds in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. It's
I mean, not a good idea. That's
the,
right.
The guidelines for
weight loss. Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital for 10 days, got released, went back in a medical center for 10 days. I lost 20 pounds.
Hospital will do it too.
Hospital. Oh. Yeah, and the food, you know, it's like,
right,
oh, wonderful.
Food.
You know.
That's not the kind of weight loss. No.
No. I'm,
yeah,
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah,
but.
The guidelines for weight loss are it's usually around 1 to 2 pounds
right.
a week would be healthy. And even there, you're cutting it sometimes to the 2 pounds. So.
Exactly. You know, and it's not always healthy to, you know, stop eating and lose all this weight and yada, yada, you know.
Well, I had a professor in college who said that when he was in college and he was doing, you know, fitness assessments for people, someone would come in, they'd say, you know, I want to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. He'd say, cut off your leg.
Yeah. That's good. I like that one.
Okay. I think I would have liked that professor.
Yeah.
Okay. Maria, when you do an individual exercise program for someone. Is it mostly females or is it both men and women?
I work with both men and women. Yep.
Okay.
And I work a lot with the senior population as well.
Sure, they like young girls, you know.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
It's kind of, we got a thing like that,
right.
You know.
It's,
you know.
Maybe that's it, but yeah. I think they enjoy it. And they're always reminded that it's never too late to see results.
Right. And it's
true. To feel better.
It is true.
It really makes a difference no matter when you start.
Sure. I mean, you know, it may take us a little longer because we're a little older, but, you know, but still.
It even doesn't take longer. It just, you'll feel the difference just like anybody else at the same rate. And you'll see improvements relative to what your needs are. You'll see those improvements. You'll get stronger too. Strength can be improved at any age. And that's a proven theory. So during the day when I work, we usually work days. There's a lot more of the seniors that come in because they're not working.
Right.
And they don't necessarily need to come at night, although they can if they want to. But I see a lot of the seniors, and I think they get a lot out of the wellness center. It's also a social aspect there that adds to well-being. Right. And they're not in as much of a hurry to brush you off. And they talk and they form camaraderie. And it's just a really nice way to work. And it's a nice way to experience seeing them grow. So yeah. I really enjoy that part of the job.
Mm-hmm. We're coming to New Year's. Everybody has New Year's resolutions, or at least most people, not everybody, but most people. And a lot of the times, outside of quit smoking, which was always one of mine, I've quit 25 years ago, but you know, but it was always one of mine. Every New Year's Eve, I'm gonna quit. Throw the cigarettes away. Next day, I'd be out there looking.
What have I done?
Trying to pull one out that wasn't too badly crushed, you know. But aside from smoking, and you know, there's other resolutions people want, but fitness is a big one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any suggestions on how people may set their goals?
I always tell people to make their goals SMART, which is an acronym. It's used pretty widely across the like exercise community. It stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. So that's the kind of goals you should be making. So as far as specific goes, it's like making a goal that's not just get healthy. Get healthy is very vague. It's really hard to define what that is. So for a lot of people, when you're making a goal, make it, you know, I want to lose weight. I want to gain strength. I want to, you know, have more stamina. It makes it a little easier to work in a direction towards that. The same way, make it measurable. Pick like a variable that you can use to track your progress. So as far as like, if you want to lose weight, maybe how are you going to track that? You know, pounds lost, calories consumed, figure out, you know, numeric stuff works. In the same way, you know, a more qualitative variable might work. Like I want to feel, you know, more awake at this time of day. I want to feel, you know, more, you know, vibrant. It's stuff that you can notice. It's important. Make sure it's attainable. Kind of like I was saying before, don't make your goal, I want to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. It's got to be realistic. Otherwise, you're going to fall off the wagon pretty early.
Unless you cut your leg off like your professor
said. Yeah, exactly. Cut your leg off too, but you're not going to see the result. I don't think you're going to see the kind of results you want to see with that.
Be kind of hard to ride the bike.
Exactly. Definitely would make it harder to do other exercise. So make sure it's relevant. A lot of people, they might take on, you know, I want to be fit. And they think about what other people think of as what fit is. Like maybe they think that you need to look a certain way because of maybe what the media makes, you know, a healthy man or healthy woman out to be. But you need to make sure it's relevant to you. People who are intrinsically motivated generally stay on with their fitness regimens more than somebody who's taking the goals of the people around them to be their own. It's really hard to stay on and do something for a really long time, because that's what exercise is going to be for you. It's going to be a long time,
right?
Activity that you engage in. So you want to make sure that, you know, your goals align well with your values. And then you want to make sure that they're time bound. You want to set deadlines. So maybe by, you know, a month from now, I would like to have lost 5 pounds. Something that, you know, is easily seen, you know, easily tracked, and it's, you know, in a certain amount of time. Because if you make it too open ended, you'll never start. You'll never actually start your regimen.
That's true.
Because you just say, well, you know, I don't really, it doesn't really matter when I get fit, so I could start next week if I want to, or I could start. But if you say I want to do it in a month from today, you're going to get to that gym. You're going to try and, you know, figure out what you need to be doing faster. You're going to see the results, you know, the way you want to see them.
Right, right. So. Maria, do you, how can I say? Someone comes to you with their goals like we're talking about. How do you support them to achieve their goal? How do you help them get to from point A to point B?
That's a good question. I think that one of the keys to staying staying the distance, to enduring and getting to point B, is having a little help along the way. And you can establish that with a personal trainer. Like, I'm a personal trainer, and when somebody hires me that and they tell me what their goals are, I feel that just by motivating them and making them accountable and setting out a plan for them and working with them, that is very helpful. And then also, as a personal trainer, my job is to also make them aware that they're very capable on their own as well. And eventually you do get to the point where they can feel that on their own that they can proceed and continue on that plan. Another way that I think people really stick with their plan is if they're in some form of group exercise. And I highly recommend that. Even when I work with people one-on-one, I highly recommend group exercise because there is this factor in there of fun and looking forward to seeing friendly faces. They could become your best friends, but they don't have to become your best friends. But yet seeing them there every day and just hearing the small chit-chat that goes on before class, after class, I think that really puts another value to exercise that makes people want to come back for more. So it's not
I could understand that.
I think it's immensely important. And I find that even I look forward to when I get up in the morning, let's say, and I know I'm going to train my group of ladies. There's a group of four ladies I train. I look forward to that morning, and I know, oh, today I'm going to see so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. Oh, and I wonder how her son did when he blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
And I have to tell you that is a great key to fitness.
It's a motivator for the
people.
It's a
huge deal.
You know.
And even for myself, I can't tell you how many times, and I tell this to everyone, that asked me that how do you stay motivated? Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I lose motivation too, but I run with my buddy
every
Sunday.
Yeah, we all
do
at one point. Yeah.
Right. And I used to run alone, and now I have my running pal. And every Sunday morning, I can't tell you how excited I am to go running. And I realize it's because I get to see her. And
right.
We chat as we're running. We chat about our kids, what we did on the weekends. And so now I find myself, when I put my running shoes on at Sunday mornings, I don't think so much about, oh, how many miles are we going to do today? And, you know, what's the target heart rate? I think more about, oh, I can't wait to see Monica today. I wonder how everything went, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right, right.
So there is that big connection. I think once you start getting into all of those points and connecting those dots and creating a routine around them, you really, I think, have a greater chance of sticking with it.
Yeah, you see that when, like, the group of women come out of that, we were talking about that room in the back there.
Yes.
And it's not like they just walk out the door.
No.
You know, they'll sit out there by the, couch there and,
yes.
you know, chairs, or they'll stand up and they'll be mm-hmm. talking for God knows how long,
yeah.
you know. And some of them walk around the track
yes.
and talk, you know. So
exactly.
It's
a great feeling. And
yeah.
It doesn't have to be those heavy conversations. It's just the little nuances, the day, the
right
just the friendly face, like when you know when Jared you know is helping someone too, like when they see him and they engage with him, it's a conversation, it's socializing as
sure.
well. So
absolutely,
yeah,
it's a big factor.
Yeah, it fosters a sense of community,
it
which
really,
is really
does
important in a lot of people's lives. I mean, you have a lot of people who might stay in a lot, they might not, you know, get the time to go out and socialize, they might work a really, you know, long hour job that might
right.
be a lot of solitude. They need this socialization. They need this. It makes people feel better
mm-hmm.
for the most part. So I think group exercise is probably one of the bigger selling points of a New Year's resolution. I think that's probably one of the better options to go with. I think coming to see a personal trainer might,
yeah,
you know, further down the road once you get established. But I mean, group exercise establishes a sense of, like, you know, rapport. Like, if you're not there, everyone notices when
yes.
you're not there.
Yeah.
The next time you come back, they're like, where were you? What were you doing?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So, and people are texting you, asking you where
yes.
you were, you know, what
right.
was going on. So it, you know, you might have an off day, you might miss a day. That's not the end of the world. A lot of people think if they miss like a week of
right.
exercise, that's it. They should just quit. It doesn't. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
you need a week off.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, I need a week off. Like,
don't you find people come back stronger?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I think they,
you know,
do.
I like
fresher.
I like working out early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some mornings you just need to sleep in. And then after I sleep in, I miss that window that I had because the rest of the day is planned out to go to work. You know, I have
right.
other errands to run. But it's okay. Like, you know, you can do that. But I think the group exercise, definitely, it gives you a time of day
mm-hmm.
that you have automatically blocked out that you need to get to. And you get to see your friends. You get to see the, you know, trainers that will eventually, you know, you might be friends with. You might want to go back to see them, you know, pretty often. You might want to take other classes and stuff. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think group exercise is very important.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I think people get, don't you feel, I hear, oh, I don't know if I should go in. I don't know how to do that. I look clumsy. I'm not as fit. Oh, that's a, but I think I always say, come on in.
Yeah. That's what
come on in and give it at least 6 times.
Yeah.
Because it takes, your body takes a little while to learn new movements.
It takes about 4 weeks for your body to actually adapt to that before you start to see results. That's, you know.
Yeah, and learn how to move.
Your neurology, it's your brain adapting to your body's movements and stuff. I mean, and going back to your original point, you know, people are afraid to come in, afraid to approach us, but we weren't hired because we were great at exercising. We're hired because we're really warm, you know, personable people. So you're going to walk
really
in that
like
room.
We really like it. Yeah, we actually like it.
Room, and we're going to come right up to you and talk to you and start a conversation with you because that's the kind of people we are. So we're there to make you feel comfortable. We're not there to, you know, make you look, you know, like a greased up bodybuilder. We're there, you know, to make you as comfortable as possible so that you achieve your goals the way you want to achieve them.
And I think that what you're saying is another suggestion on how to keep their goals going rather than stopping after New Year's, after
certainly.
A week.
Certainly, yeah.
You know,
yes.
Because, you know, a lot of times people, well, some people, I don't know all people, but some people are alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Either they don't have a partner or wife or husband or whatever, right. Or they lost them, mm-hmm. You know, and they don't get out, and this is some way for them to get out and be with other people.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
You know, forget the working out. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just the socialization that they can have, which is
great.
And
in the process, you're moving.
And in the process, they're doing things, you know.
I mean, you're feeling better. The exercise has mm-hmm. benefits across the board in a bunch of different health categories. I mean, as far as actual physical wellness, you know, reduces your cardiovascular risk, it reduces your risk of, you know, getting cancer, it reduces metabolic disease like diabetes, but in addition, it reduces the prevalence of depression, mm-hmm. Anxiety, stuff like that. So it's very good. It gives, I mean, especially for older adults, you know, who are very routine oriented, exercise is based in regimens and routines.
It's great
so
for
it
older
gives
adults.
You, it gives you that sense of, you know, I have to be here at this time. Because I have to do this because it makes me feel better because I get to see my friends. So there's so many benefits to it. It sometimes baffles me that people still don't exercise. But I mean, I'm a little bit biased. I've been doing this my entire life. I'm an athlete, so it's hard for me to see it. And I try to make an effort every time I meet somebody new who hasn't exercised to, you know, see it from their perspective and try and give them a, you know, routine or a protocol that's going to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many benefits to it.
What is the most challenging part about sticking to it, do you think?
For a trainer or for a participant?
Both.
Both. For a participant, I think it's probably boredom. And they fall off the wagon mm-hmm. because they're like, maybe they're bored or, they feel, oh, I've already done that. And or maybe they just suddenly decided, I don't really like that class so much. Or so I think that the boredom could be part of it, that people don't stick to it. The other thing is it's easy not to, because we can always justify 1,000 things, and it's legitimate that we have to get to. And it's totally legitimate, you know. And then thinking, oh, well, I'll get to it later. That's another way, because before you know it, a week goes by. And then 2 weeks, and like Jared was saying, they think, oh, no, I can't possibly go back now. I haven't been there in 2 weeks, which is not true at all. I think I always tell my clients that don't worry if you've missed. Just come back. Don't overthink it. Just put your shoes on and come back and say, I'm back again. Don't overthink it. As a trainer, it's difficult because there are times, you know, you're also fighting that boredom. You want to keep mm-hmm. things fresh. You want to keep challenging people, but you want to challenge them and not over-challenge them. It's a fine line. So,
do you have them do the same exercises every time?
For a while, until I feel they've achieved a good level. And then we We can either, you know, shoot for more intensity. We can switch it out. We can do it with more frequency. We can change some of the variables. But I like to really establish a great baseline and keep it very, very simple. And I find people really enjoy that, and they their confidence grows, their self-efficacy grows at that point, and they feel that they're more and more capable. And then we start to switch things around a little bit to keep it fresh and fun. Yeah.
Now, do you find that when someone seeks either of you out for, you know, a personal session, that's the only time they do it, or do they come back? Say they're going to see you guys once a week. Mm-hmm. Do you find that they come back on days that they're not seeing you and doing the exercises that they do with you? Well, I'm asking. Do you know?
I think they do. I think they try. Yep.
It depends on the person. Some people are only there for personal training because for whatever reason
it's a motivator. Yeah. It's a good motivator.
For whatever reason they believe that when the trainer's not there, they can't do the exercises the way that they're supposed to. But everyone's capable.
But the trainer taught them how to do the exercises.
Right, exactly. You know, the interesting thing is, I mean, it's kind of, you know, the trainer will do everything in their power to establish that self-efficacy and self-confidence, but some people just won't happen. They won't, they're not intrinsically motivated to do that. The trainer is their sense of, you know, that's where their goal setting is. That's, you know, the trainer is what's motivating me to go. Because if I don't go, the trainer's going to give me a hard time or this. But that's not the way it is. It's just some people think that way. I believe that most people come in, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, and they might see a trainer one day out of that week just to make sure that they're, you know, doing everything correctly and ask questions when they can. And I mean, that's what the trainer is there for mostly. It's to some extent to motivate, but ultimately, you know, once that person establishes their independence with the exercise, we're just there to tell them, you know, you're doing great, or, you know, this is something you can do and here's a way you could change it up. But like we were saying before, you know, it takes around 4 weeks for your body to even adapt to exercise, so that consistency is really important. Mm-hmm. You want to keep the routine relatively, you know, centered in one place for, you know, about a month or two. And then as the person progresses, you might change some stuff up. But, you know, you don't really see that boredom take place until maybe like 6 or 7 months when they've been doing it for a while.
We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center show. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and our guests are Jared Kaplan and Maria Williams from the Hunterdon Health and Wellness Centers, and they're personal trainers. So we will be back because I have a question that just entered my head, and if I can remember it when we get back, I'll ask it. So we'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, ceremony officiant with CelebrationOfALifetime.com. I joined the Chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. My name is Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today Jared Kaplan. I keep wanting to say Japlin, but Kaplan, I'm sorry.
At least you get the first name, right?
And Maria Williams from the Hunterdon Health and Wellness Centers. They are fitness trainers, and we've been discussing certain things, and I had a question I wanted to ask, and I can't remember what it was because that's what happens with old age. And so anyway, you guys offer fitness assessments too, right?
Yes. Yeah. I do that. Mm-hmm. A lot of those. It's basically you come in, it's like maybe 45 minutes to an hour appointment. Most of it is just us sitting and talking about your recent exercise history, what your goals are, maybe what medications you're on, that kind of stuff to make sure there's no contraindications with exercise. And then, you know, we can do body circumference. We can do skin fold if you're comfortable with that. If you're not, then maybe we'll just get you on the bike or the treadmill. It's very short, maybe like 10 minutes.
What was the other two that you said we're not comfortable with? What were they?
Oh, body circumference and skin fold. Some people a little more... you know, modest, so they don't like, you know, we do, you know, we measure, you know, the size of your chest, the size of your shoulder, size of your forearm, that kind of stuff. And skin fold measures, it's use like a caliper, and okay. You're measuring like the body fat on the person in three different sites. So for men, I think it's chest, thigh, and abdominal area, and I'm not actually totally certain what it's on women, but you're pinching the body, so it can be uncomfortable. And depending on the person, they might not necessarily want to.
Although it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. It's just, you know, the pinching, it can be kind of uncomfortable to take your shirt off in front of other people. So I don't push it. If someone says, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, that's it. We don't talk about it anymore. But then we'll get you on the bike or the treadmill, and we do maybe like a 10-minute test. It doesn't really get you too exerted. We're just trying to see how your body reacts to exercise in maybe a stepwise fashion. And we get maybe your target heart rate there as well. So we can show you this is how you're going to feel when you're going to be at that fat burning zone, or when you're going to be at that zone that's going to maybe, you know, help you with your endurance, so that when you go out and exercise, you can, I mean, if nothing else, if the numbers aren't necessarily the same or whatever, you know how your body's supposed to feel when you're getting to that point. And then we do a strength assessment, a flexibility assessment, which basically entails if you're able – getting on the floor and doing, I don't know if most people might have or have not done it. It's on the box, and you just kind of push the box. There's like a little slide on the box. You try and push it as far forward as you can. We get like a measurement. It's really not that bad. It's not anything as long as you can get up and down off the floor easily. We do some crunches, and then you can either do push-ups or we use a weight machine, and we just put you against a certain amount of resistance for about a minute. It's really not that hard to do, and it gives us a baseline so that when we're recommending exercise to you, we know where you're at and where your strengths and weaknesses are, and it gives you kind of a baseline to say, this is where I'm starting, and then, you know, 6 months, 3 months, however long, you know, you can track your progress and see it in a very defined way, quantitatively.
When you're doing these pre-exercise, do you ask how long it's been since you last exercised?
We do, but we don't. If you haven't exercised, you haven't done it in a while, there's no real shame in
like 30 some odd years.
There's no punishment.
It's just, it gives us an idea of, you know, okay, well, we're gonna maybe start at this point instead. Like, so someone comes in, they say, I'm an avid cyclist, I ride my bike every day, we're not gonna start you off walking on the treadmill. We know where you like to be on cardio. We know, you know, where you you know, we know a general idea of, you know, what we should be starting you at there, and then after we do your fitness assessment, we have a better idea. But, you know, it really, you know, none of the stuff that goes on in the fitness assessment is done to make anybody feel guilty or ashamed of themselves. It's really just to get an idea of where we're starting. You know, it's a journey as much as anything else is, so, you know, this is just a starting point.
Right. When you, either one of you, when you set up a program for someone, do you tell them, all right, do these six, say, exercises today and do these six tomorrow, and then the following day you can go back to the original six, or six, seven, whatever it may be. It could be five or four or whatever. But do you alternate them day to day, so they're not doing the same thing every day?
Yeah, it depends on how frequently they're planning on coming. If they're coming three times a week, you might have them do all of the exercises that you give them every time they come, because they're giving themselves a day off of rest in between everything. But if they are coming, you know, pretty frequently, you might have them do maybe back and arms together, and do legs and lower, you know, body and core. you try and group the exercises so that they're not, you know, getting in, you're not working too many large muscle groups at the same time. That generally will put some, I mean, if you work out your back, your legs, your chest in the same day, you're going to feel really sore the next day. So we try and group it so that it's appropriate and then you'll come right back and, you know, want to do it more. But yeah, we'll try and change it up a little bit depending on how frequently you're coming. But if you're coming like twice a week and you're coming on like Monday and Friday, we'll try and get it
then
so that
it doesn't
you're
matter, right?
Yeah, we'll try and get it right so that you're trying to hit, you know, most, because sometimes that's the people's goals. They just want to hit every muscle group, you know, maybe two times a week because they're not looking to maybe, you know, gain a whole lot of muscle. They're just looking to maintain their fitness.
Do you do the same thing, Marie?
I do. And also another thing that I stress is you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to have the person the very next day be so, so stiff and so sore that even getting out of bed is excruciating. The idea is not that. I'm not a proponent of no pain, no gain. I think that's ridiculous. A little soreness, maybe a little stiffness. Yeah that can happen. But I think the idea is to really space out the exercises. A day of rest in between is a great way to start and to separate some of the upper body and lower, so you're targeting different muscle groups on different days if you can, mm-hmm. and give a little bit of a reprieve to the ones that you just worked out a day before.
Do you think that even after you've done these exercises, say for, I don't know, pick a time, 2 months, 6 weeks, whatever, mm-hmm. That you can still ache a little?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's your body, when you get, mm-hmm. it's called delayed onset muscle
yes.
soreness.
Yes,
the DOMS. I still ache.
It's called delayed onset muscle soreness. And basically what happens when you work out is your muscle fibers, they rub against each other. You have two different,
right.
I won't get into the hard science of it, but you have filaments that slide against each other and they tear. And that's, you know, that's your muscle. It, mm-hmm. It's becoming ready to become, you know, bigger and stronger. So when you eat, you repair the muscle and it gets bigger, but inevitably there's soreness because it's, mm-hmm. it's like growing pain. So there's going to be a little bit of soreness. You shouldn't be feeling like mm-mm. you can't get out of bed. If you are, then go tell your fitness trainer that they're doing, you know, you're working too
that's
hard.
Not working.
Adjust. Yeah, they'll adjust accordingly. You should not be bedridden after exercise. But if you do feel a little soreness the next day, it's okay. Some people like it because it, you know, to them, feeling that soreness means that they're getting a good workout in. To some people, it's a little more uncomfortable. If it is, you come back, you tell your trainer or whoever, right. you know, is working, you know, I'm feeling a little more sore than I'd like, and we'll adjust your workout accordingly. You know, it's very, we try and make exercises individualized as
yes.
possible, because the goal is not to, like I said before, the goal is not to make everyone into Arnold Schwarzeneggers. It's
right.
to have everyone be as active as they can, because you want to prolong your life and you want to live a high quality of life. So that's what we're trying to get you.
All right. Let's say, for argument's sake, I don't know what they call a machine, but you're sitting and you got your hands on a thing and you're pushing it together.
Yeah, the
okay.
chest.
Like
yeah.
a chest thing.
It's not a chest press, but it's a pec.
Right. It's, yeah, okay. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about,
exactly.
right? Do you start out with someone...
Yeah.
To what?
They're
called pec flies.
We were trying
yeah.
to figure out what the name
out.
Of the machine
yeah.
is.
Okay. That's right.
Because
okay.
it's like
yeah.
you're flying.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
right. Yeah. Okay. That's it. Do you find that when you have someone start on that machine, how do you come up with the weight that they should use?
It really
why do you keep asking him?
Because he does a lot of these now.
Yeah.
And what do you do?
Well, he's doing
Holy
a lot
teasing.
Of the... I do them too, obviously, but he's... really doing when you do the assessments,
mm-hmm.
like for example, when if you came in, let's say he took you and he did an assessment
right.
for you, that this fit the same fitness trainer would usually
do your
orientation
yeah. okay.
and then they set up your weights and
yeah. a lot of it. So with choosing the right weight, it would be nice to have a hard science
it's,
and say
yeah,
you know this
isn't.
Works
but
for everyone,
not,
no.
right.
but there's not. So
mm-hmm.
what we like to do is we'll see. You know, maybe we'll give you a weight. We'll start you off and we'll say, is this too heavy? Is this too light? And based on your response to that, we'll adjust accordingly. Generally, like when I look at someone, I can tell if they're going to be putting, you know, a lot of, with legs, it's really hard because everyone's legs are really strong. So it's, you know, it's a little more, guess and check there. But for,
right.
you know, your upper body, that kind of stuff, you can generally tell where someone's going to be starting off. And, Some people like to start off at one rep max and then do a certain percentage of that. So one rep max is basically the most weight you can push and do at least one, you know, one movement of that exercise. That's your one rep max. And then from that, you might do a percentage. So some people like to do, if you're starting off working out, 50% of your one rep max for maybe 8 reps or something like that.
What do you suggest the amount of reps that you do for someone?
Again, it depends on goals. So if you're looking for tone, it's more reps. You want to do higher volume of lower weight. So
is maybe, there an average that you use, like 12 or 15?
Or how strong they are, too.
Yeah, it depends on how strong you are. For like toning, I do between 15 and 20 reps of like a very low weight. So maybe if you're doing like bicep curl, like 20 reps at like 20 pounds. But if you're looking for strength, the recommended is between 8 and 12 reps of movement, and it would be at a, you know, probably around 70% of your one rep max.
All right, so you do, say, argument 12 reps.
Three sessions, four sessions, how many? Three sets. Three sets of 12 reps. Some people, you know, they want to do like 36 in a row. It's like, no, you don't do that. That's not good. You want to give your muscles a minute to reprieve and that kind of stuff, and then start again. And as you, the way you would progress it is, you know, you would start off doing 8 reps at something for 3 sets.
Right.
And then as that got easy, you might, you know, start doing 10 reps for 3 sets, and then 12 reps for 3 sets. And then once that
would you
12,
increase the weight?
No,
doing
you,
this?
You would eventually increase the weight, but you want to keep it. So until you're doing 12 reps, 3 sets in a row, and you're feeling totally fine, like you could do another set. That's when you up the weight.
Usually they say, that's right. They usually say that, you increase reps first before weight.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
that's a safer approach.
Yeah. Right. Most of the machines go up maybe by like 10 or 15 pounds. And if you tried to do, you know, if you tried to go up 10 pounds after only doing maybe 8 reps for 3 sets for like, you know, 2 days, you're going to damage your muscles. And then you're going to have a day where you're spending the whole day in bed because you're too sore.
We have about less than a minute to go. If someone wanted to tour the centers or
call
for an appointment, how do they do that?
They don't even need an appointment. Just look up our hours, our operating hours. Come in whenever we are open, and a fitness trainer.
There's always someone on the floor.
Yes, we'll be happy to give you a tour at any time.
Yeah. Okay.
We're very
and that's
available.
Either in White House or
either one.
Either one. Okay. Yeah. I can't thank you enough for being here today. And you did well, Maria.
You
know, come on. You know, you don't always have to go to Jared.
I was like, okay, Jared, you can do the talking.
But thank you so much. And hopefully you'll come back.
Thank you.
At another time.
You
know, we'll be back here next week. Same time, same station. This is Larry Cartwright. And you've been listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. President Obama is responding to critics of his ISIS plans. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
President Obama held a press conference today regarding the battle against Islamic terrorist group ISIS in what observers say is a response to criticism his current plan is ineffective.
This continues to be a difficult fight. As I said before, ISIL is dug in, including in urban areas, and they hide behind civilians, using defenseless men, women, and children as human shields. So even as we're relentless, we have to be smart.
The president claims ISIS has lost 40% of the land they once controlled in Iraq. I'm Jason Wirt.
A new poll shows Donald Trump is increasing his lead over the other Republican presidential candidates. A Monmouth University poll out today shows the billionaire real estate mogul with 41% support. That's a 27-point lead over the second choice, Texas Senator Ted Cruz. This is the highest poll number yet for Trump and his largest lead. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. Own small business. No time. Holidays busy. Pack stuff. Ship stuff. Help.
Well, at Staples, our UPS shipping center is open 7 days a week with the same carrier rates and all the shipping supplies you need, so you can relax.
I'm relaxed. Loosened up. Tension gone.
Takes time to adjust.
Get up to 5% back in rewards on everything every day, including shipping and packing supplies. Ship more for less. Staples. Make more happen.
5% back in rewards excludes postage, gift, or prepaid phone cards and purchases made on third-party websites. Rewards not paid on taxes, delivery charges, and coupons. See staples.com for details.
Get your plenty card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.